This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر La ilaha illallah
Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'dihi wa nasta'gfiruh ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد عباد الله All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, his companions and his followers until the Day of Judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his last and final messenger. My brothers and sisters, take you back to 1961 in Philadelphia. The police department will be full alert on Friday that comes right after Thanksgiving. There is so heavy, so much traffic. Traffic is so heavy. Disturb of pedestrian and vehicle traffic that will occur on that day after Thanksgiving. So the police department decided to give that day a code name. They call it Black Friday. And that's where that name came from originally. It was a code name used by the police department. Then after that was picked up through time since 1961 and developed to be the day that comes right after Thanksgiving where people go for shopping because of all these sales and bargains that they can find. And this term, as you can see, originally was not used by the shoppers. Actually, to be quite honest, shoppers and retail stores didn't like the name Black Friday much because it has a negative connotation. Actually, historically in America, if you think about Black Friday before these days, it will come to mind basically, which is nothing to do with shopping season. It's September 24 in 1869. That's basically when the crash, or specifically the crash of the U.S. gold, took place in the stock market with a very famous story of two investors bought all the gold trying to scam people. Then the news basically was released on that Friday. So since then, they call it the Black Friday. That's in 1869. So that's what stuck in people's mind. Usually, dark day, you're calling a black day this or that, wasn't a very negative thing through history. Black Thursday occurred on October 24th in 1929, the day that signaled the starting of the Great Depression in America. You know, you have after that followed by the Black Tuesday, which is the day the stock market lost 11% of its value, and that's also, another day was known as the Black Tuesday. If you go to Black Monday, speaking of stock market, very famous name, the Black Monday, was given in October 19 in 1987, where it is basically for the first time in history of stock market that Dow Jones lost 22% of its value. Never happened before in history of stock market in one day to lost that amount just like that. So they try their best to change the name. They call it the Big Friday for a while. You know, in 1961, there was a try to change it to the Big Friday, but it didn't work. People stuck to the Black Friday. It became the nickname and the famous name. So you know how what we say: if you can't beat them, join them. So they brought another explanation for the Black Friday, which is basically usually in accounting, you write your losses in red and your profit in black. So they call it Black Friday because that's the day where people make profits. We're basically starting the season of shopping. You know, in 2003, not long time ago, this day became the most profitable day for retail stores in America. Before 2003 wasn't the case, maybe rank number 5, 6, it depends on the research that you're going to look at. But since 2003, almost this became the most famous day for retail businesses to make so much money. To the extent that so many countries start following our footsteps. Today I was listening to the news. In the UK, they have today their Black Friday. It's funny, they took from us the Black Friday, but they didn't take from us the Thanksgiving, you know? It doesn't fit with Europe, the religious stuff much. Anyway, so you have many countries like France, believe it or not, they start copying U.S. and doing their Black Friday. India, also another country that they start having a Black Friday. Many countries, like if you search it, you will be surprised how many countries start doing that because of the fame of that day. That day, not only famous of its sales, but also of its violence. Many violence. Today, you heard the news maybe. Someone was shot at Walmart here in Houston and was killed or shot. I'm not sure if killed or not. Was shot over a parking spot. That's reminded me of another incident. Two people were killed in the over a parking spot in Tallahassee, in Florida. Before, I think in 2012, before. Anyway, Walmart is the well-known department stores of all, most of the violence happening Friday. It will be taking place, historically speaking, especially in the electronic department. This is a dangerous zone on Friday, Black Friday, just in case of someone planning to go. Okay, here people raise a question, why would people so violent on this day? You know, 12% of people who go shopping on Black Friday are drunk. So that's a good reason for why there is violence. Two, people will spend many hours and sometimes long lines and get so frustrated and they make them ready to pick any fight. You know, and just, I think in 2014, Macy's, for example, had 15,000 people online. That's in 2014. So for long lines like that, people spend a big amount of time. You get so frustrated and willing to pick a fight. You name it. People are trampled to death. People got shot. People got beaten, pulling hairs. You know, you name it, pepper spraying each other's. Unfortunately, it is a very ugly thing to see on TV how people behave just because they think that they have a good deal of something that most likely... For something that they think it is a good deal just because it's a discounted price. Many researchers also said because people are expecting a reward in that time, when you get expecting reward, you become so hyped up. And also because of competition. It's a short amount of time. It is limited amount or number of items. So people have a sense of competition. When this two together comes, people willing are basically ready to basically act in a violence way. We are all hardwired for violence under the right circumstances. And no better circumstances can be more than what I just told you. I know that this is very important for our economy in America, the Black Friday. You know, last year, Americans spent $626.1 billion on Black Friday. That's $626.1 billion. Around $805 per shopper. I know that how that important for the economy. And Friday play a crucial role to the U.S. economy today. And that's why people increasing and buying and consuming more and more and more. But what I would like to say, I'm not here to promote Black Friday, nor to speak ill of it, or to stop you from taking advantage of it. But what I want to share with you, something to keep in mind, and I think this has really raised a lot of points for me to talk about today with you, that we should know that the massive consumption that we have as a nation, we as a big, huge consumer nation, this doesn't only, it affect everybody around us in the world, affect our country, affect everywhere, everybody in the world. You know, we basically, Americans make up, 5% of the global population. But believe it or not, we consume 20% of the world's resources. Yet, when it comes to how much we're willing to spend on things that we want to buy, we prioritize accessories over education in America. We spend more on shoes, jewelry, and watches. We spend about in America $100 billion over accessories. $100 billion with B. Then on higher education. Americans have more TV sets than the number of family at the house. And that's statistically speaking. And 1/3 of the day, most of the homes, these TVs are on. About 8 hours, more than 8 hours a day. There are 300,000 items in an average American's house. 300,000 items in an average American's house. Average American woman own 30 dresses, basically. That's the average, 30 dresses. That means she can wear a dress every single day in the month. In 1930, an average American woman used to have only 9 dresses. The average American family spent $1,700 in clothes. That's an average annually. That's an average American family. And we, I think, a Muslim community, if we're not average, we're usually above average. The Muslim community, if they're not in the average, usually they are, alhamdulillah, we're affluent community. But that's, these numbers are, you know, scary. You just think about the amount of money and consumption that we have here. We consume twice as many material goods today as we did 50 years ago. What that means? It means that this trend will only increase as our population increase. You know, an average American drain as many resources as 30 people in India. And we're required services and use more goods than more than 53 Chinese persons. And I can go on and on and on, telling you how much we became not anymore a luxurious society. We became a waster society. And in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Those who are wasters are the brothers of the devils. There is no wonder in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about wealth and money. The word mal, which is mean wealth or money, mentioned 86 times in the Quran. 86 times. And when you see something repeated so many times in the Quran, it means something of significance, something important. How could it be not important? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah An-Nisa, وَلَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَهَا اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. And do not give the weak-minded your property, your wealth, which Allah has made a means of sustains for you. So Al-Quran and Islam recognize wealth and money as a means of sustain. That will sustain your life. That will protect your need. And that's basically the pillars of the society. هي ما تقوم به معايشهم كما يقول ابن كثير رحمه الله. That's what really the foundation for any society or any community. Al-Islam made a zakat, which has to do with the way to deal with wealth, calculating your wealth, giving part of it to the poor, basically making the money go around in the society. Part of, or one of the pillars of Islam. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about the virtue of things, he mentioned this, the money and the ilm in the same level. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا حسد إلا في اثنتين. You cannot envy someone a good envy, an envy that it doesn't require, it doesn't mean that he loses what he, that person loses what he has or she has. Except in two things he should wish for. Someone Allah gives him money and he spend it in the right way. And someone Allah gives him what? Knowledge. So he basically, he's a learned person and he teach people. These, the Prophet ﷺ made them in the same level. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, anytime He speaks about jihad, He put the jihad with wealth before the nafs, before the soul. Because of the importance of money. Russia fell apart, the Soviet Union, many of you old enough to remember that, the Soviet Union was not, didn't fall apart because of basically the lack of good army. They have the biggest army and nuclear, one of the biggest, in the, if it's not the biggest in the world. But still fall apart. Wasn't because of the weakness of their army or the weakness of their, you know, their army. No, it was the weakness of the economy, because economically they couldn't survive. Al-Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam forbid wasting the money. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. In Surah Al-Isra, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Eat and drink, but don't waste. Because Allah hates waster. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ فِي حَدِيثِ الْمُغِيرَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْبُخَارِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ عُقُوقَ الْأُمَّهَاتِ وَوَأْدَ الْبَنَاتِ وَمَنَعَ وَهَاتِ وَكَرِهَ لَكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ ثُمَّ قَالَ وَإِضَاعَةُ الْمَالِ وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet ﷺ forbade, he hates to see someone wasting his money. If Islam told us not to give our money in a way that is a waste, or not to basically to give the money to people who are weak-minded because they don't know how to use it in the proper way, what we call and what we say about what we see today. Unfortunately, this has become a big problem. Many of us live in debt. 52% of Americans, including our community, 52%, they live above their means. They spend more than what they earn. 52%. That means they live in debt. It's an issue that it has to be discussed. And a lot of people admit this problem. But they don't know how to get out of it. But worse than that, that there is many people don't admit it even. They live in denial. They think that they just can keep going like that. Fake. Just from outside, it looks like corrupt. But you know what? Any shake, you will fall apart financially. So I looked at some of why we overspend. Overspending is a problem. And controlling your overspending is a required from you as a smart person, as a good Muslim. Because in Islam, we're not supposed to live in debt. The Prophet ﷺ, in the beginning of the time of his risala, when someone will be brought and he's in debt, he wouldn't even offer salat al-janazah on that person. But later on, when he became rich or have money, he said he will pay his debt off, then he will make janazah. Why? Because he want to send a message that being just in debt for no valid reason or good reason is not a good thing. It's amazing how our religion teach us that our financial strategy should be not based on debt or riba or interest. While all our financial basically planning today is always based on riba, interest, and based on debt. I know it's very almost impossible and very hard to go against the whole norm in the society. But it doesn't mean that we give up completely. If we say it's allowed for you to do this or that, or we give some exceptions to the rules, it doesn't mean that our whole entire life became based on debt. And we basically overspending and spending money that we don't have. As one person put it, he said, in America, we spend money we don't have to impress people we don't know. Okay? To impress people we don't know. You know, I travel a lot around the world. I haven't seen any place in the world has many self-storage like America. You know why we have so many self-storage here? Because we have so many things. If it's an average house in America contained 300,000 items, for God's sake. Just look at yourself when you move from one house to another. So how can we control our spending? I think it starts with knowing where is the problem coming from. Most of us, our problem coming from us using plastic instead of paper. When you start using the plastic, the card, and now even the screen, you know, just use, scan it and that's it. Not even plastic. Your phone always in your hand, so you're willing to charge. The plastic card is easy. Come on, everybody has to admit that. It's so much easier to charge your card than to count the money and give it away. Everybody knows how easy it is just to swipe the card and go over with it. So that's a big reason for a lot of people to overspend, because they don't feel it. And how to fix that? Try to eliminate most of your credit card. Leave the one that you really absolutely needed for emergency, for traveling, maybe something like that. Try to depend more on cash. You know, on Sunday, for example, you can go to the ATM machine, pull amount of money, put it in an envelope, make that your ATM machine. So you know what your budget is. You know, I pulled out $500 that I'm going to be spending in this month or this week. You know, so when it comes to 300, 200, you can watch, you know, how far you are. But it's just the plastic card. You don't even know. And by the way, don't ever tell me, alhamdulillah, I'm rich, I can pay it off. It's not about how much you have. It's about how much you spend. Because the more you spend, the more effect it has on other people. You know, all this consumption doesn't go free. It has a tax on the environment, for just a simple example. So that's one thing, you start learning how to control it by reducing the usage of your credit card. Also, your lifestyles bigger than your budget. Many of us, our lifestyles is way bigger than our budget. Either because maybe you used to be rich, or you grow up in a family that they have certain lifestyle, and now you got married and you have a new home, starting your life with your husband, or you starting basically, you became an independent, you left your father and you start your life as a young professional. It doesn't mean that you live the same lifestyle you had before when you're a spoiled brat kid. In your house, in your father's house. You need to learn how to basically live according to your budget. He or she. It's very important for us, you know, to maintain that. Most of Americans expect that they can have all luxurious things in life. You know what? Economy is not the same. And things changing. How to basically fix that? A lot of preparation goes a long way. If you make a point of consistently living below your means, not according to your means, below your means, and you build yourself up, that will help you a lot. And that's why that concept in Islam is called az-zuhd, being ascetic. It's not just to run to fulfill everything you want. You're a little bit below what you need. And that will help the person to control his finance more and more. One of the reasons, your childhood. I've met many people, the reason for their overspending is because of their childhood. They grow up maybe they grow up poor. And now they feel the urge to overspend to compensate all the bad days that they had in their childhood. You know, I grow up, have not much things. I don't have many things. And now, you know, alhamdulillah, I have good income, so I kind of compensate these old days. It doesn't work this way. And you know what we do? We do this to our kids. You know, when I was a kid, I don't have, you know, many of the things that you have. So what we start doing? Overspending. Giving kids toys and toys and toys and toys. 3.1% of the world's children live in USA. But guess what? 49% of the toys in the world are in the hand of our children. That means something. So hear what I'm saying. A lot of time our childhood, either because we lived like poor, or even the other way around, if you live very rich in your childhood, you think you have to continue that way when you grow up, and even if you don't have the means for it. You know, to fix that, if you lack a good financial role models as a kid, don't do the same when you're an adult. If your father spoiled you or basically didn't have the money to provide for you, you know what? You can adjust yourself here. And I will highly recommend, because of the lack of time, to read certain books that help you a lot tremendously in this area. Like one of my favorite books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Okay? One of the good books that you can have is The Millionaire Next Door. Or Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Very good books to help you to think how you basically manage your wealth properly or your money properly. You are trying to keep up appearance. A lot of us, that's what led us to overspending. Basically, we'd like to keep up, you know, as they say, keep up with this actor, keep up with that, keep up and you start basically having new things and try to overspend in your appearance. And that's one of the most, they said overspending usually come from two sides, clothing and food. And most Americans, they're basically go over budget because of these two. They eat too much outside, too many times outside the house, or in restaurants, or they buy things that they don't need. One of the way to fix that, focus on your goals. Have a financial goals, and that's your goal. I need to get my debt free. I need to get my college debt free. I want to be basically to provide for my kids' college education. I want to buy a car. I want to buy a house. I want to pay my mortgage off. Have a clear goal. So you don't waste your money on just an appearance things. One of the reasons also, you are feeling peer pressure. A lot of people around you, everybody have this like designer clothes, designer shoes, and or you go out. You know, I go out sometimes with people who are way richer than me, and they will, buy all these things, fancy drinks, fancy restaurants. I cannot keep up with that. That's a peer pressure around you. I want to tell all these young men and women here, you don't need to feel that peer pressure that you have to have the $300 shoes or $100 shoes or $100 and a $200 purse. You don't need that. You know what? Don't judge yourself by how you look, or don't judge yourself by comparing yourself to others. You have your own personality. If people don't like you the way you are from inside, I guarantee you, no matter what decoration you put outside, will not make you acceptable. True acceptance, what kind of person I care for if he will judge me just because of my appearance? And that led me to say a lot of us spend because we also, one of the reasons a lot of people overspending because of emotional void. There is a lot of people under anxiety, stress, you know, not feeling good. What do? They go shopping. You know what? If you feel anxiety and you're stressed out, and don't go shopping, come to the masjid. Whatever you want to spend in the shopping, these mini boxes here. And that will make you release your basic anxiety. I know, going to the mall, walking through the stores, seeing the new things, it will reduce that anxiety. But I want to tell you, when you do that, keep that in mind. I understand that and I appreciate that. Don't think I don't. But what I want to tell you, that you're just running away from the problem. That's not a solution for your anxiety. That's like putting a bandage over an open wound. That's not how you deal with it. So if you know that, there is no need for you to double your problem. Also, a lot of time we just didn't know how to say no to ourselves, to our children, to our wives, to our husbands. Your husband wants a new HD, you know, smart TV. We just got one last year. But I can't say no, he's my sweetheart. You know, Habibi, go buy your TV. No, you should tell him, you know, hey, maybe we don't need that. There's more important thing to buy. You know, people don't know how to say no to children, to kids. Believe me, many toys will never make your kids happier. I heard that day a psychologist was saying, your kids need a vitamin N, more than vitamin E, more than vitamin B, more than any vitamins that you have in the list. What's vitamin N? No. You need to teach them to tell them no. You know, that's not a bad thing. That's a thing that's how life is. You preparing them for life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuwaffiqna wa iyyakum li kulli khayr. Aqulu ma sami'tum wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum fastaghfiruh. Alhamdulillah wahdahu was salatu was salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ba'd. One of the good things that you can do when your kids is give them allowance, give them a budget. And tell them, hey, that's your budget. You want to buy extra things? It is your money. And give them right consulting. Let them make the decision from the early age. Let them appreciate what the value of money. It's important for us to teach our generation to do that. Also, one of the things that I would say, one of the reasons that I found, there is a lot of people, they don't have a clear financial goals in life. That's why they waste their money. And to fix that, start having a very clear financial goals in your life. You know, a brother came to me that day, was talking to me about how he would like to see the Muslim community start thinking more, you know, and prepare themselves financially better. He's telling me, Sheikh, you know what? We wait until college comes, then we say, what are we going to do for kids? He said, while most of my clients were not Muslims, before you just got married, now they start preparing for, you know, education funds and allocating some funds in mutual funds, for example, for that. Just make sure when you do this, you ask what's the halal and the haram, because there is mix here in this area. Some mutual funds are halal, some of them are not. So it depends on the stocks or the investment that you're making. But my point is, there is people prepare themselves for that. When we got an accident, we start preparing, what are we going to do about it? We don't have a plan ahead of time. And that's something we need to start working on it and plan for it. One of the things that I found, a lot of people are overspend when they, if you have this problem, my advice to you, don't turn everything to e-receipt. Or get your financial statement or your credit card statement or your bills in a written format. I know it's not a very good thing for the environment, but many times when it's electronic, you don't read it. And I noticed that myself. For example, I used to have a phone, and I always say that it was a disaster. I found myself paying a lot of money. I didn't even know that I'm paying that much money. I'm not going to say it so nobody can hold it against me. Every month for my bill, because they changed the rate for international calls and stuff like that. And I found I'm paying a lot of money. I didn't even pay attention to it. Because what happened, I used to look at the receipt or the bills every month. But since I transferred to BE electronic, I don't click on that email anymore. So make sure that you pay attention to that. Use visual reminders. I love it. I saw one brother, his wallet, okay, here. He did here like, you know, E and F, like full and empty. And he has something like moving around, you know, telling how much left money in his budget. You know, I have one brother once was opening his wallet and I found in his wallet says, I will be millionaire by 2000, this and that. He put a goal for himself. He would make $1 million by 2000, I think was 18 or something like that. So he has a reminder, that's visual reminder, don't waste. You know, just somebody that day said, I decided to stop. If you drink iced latte every day, iced latte, grande iced latte every day, and you give that up, you will be saving $1,600. That's a lot of money. It's accumulate over time. One of the things that people do, they have a matching program, a matching sadaqah program. Anytime they spend money over things that they don't really want, they still consider overspending, they match it into sadaqah. And we welcome that program here in the masjid and encourage it. You're more than welcome to do that. I will be your financial advisor. Okay? We were willing to do that. But I'm serious. I'm not joking. I'm serious about that. You know, sometimes, you know what? I went and I really spent the luxury things. And he said to myself, you know what? At least I would give something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Allah. If I spend it over my dunya, can't I overspend for the akhirah? You know, Hamza putting all these red lines to tell you how much we collect every week and every month. So we reached our goals. You know, I said to myself, if I overspend over the dunya, wouldn't I should overspend? We should pass that green line every single month. We should overspend in sadaqah, not overspend in dunya. One last thing I will say. If you have an overspending problem, ask yourself, do I need it or I just want it? Just ask yourself this question. I know, realistically, you can't just always get what you only need. We would like to get what we want. I'm for that. But just watch yourself. Just don't overdo it. And you know one of the ways to see you're overdoing it or not? Compare how much you give for the dunya comparing the akhirah. How much you give for the necessity over luxurious things. And that's how you will see you're on the right track or not. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuffiqna wa iyyakum li kulli khayr. نقول ما أسأل اللهم إنا نسألك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أن تغفر لنا ذنوبنا وأن تستر عيوبنا وأن ترحمنا. اللهم ارزقنا بحلالك عن حرامك. اللهم أغننا بحلالك عن حرامك وارزقنا من فضلك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وآله وبارك على محمد وآله كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا نسألك أن تغفر لوالدينا. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا أحياء وأمواتا. اللهم إنا نسألك أن تغفر لموتانا وموت المسلمين وأن تشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وأن تعافينا من كل بلاء وفتنة يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم وسع على إخواننا المظلومين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم وسع على إخواننا المظلومين وارفع عنهم في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم عليك بأعدائك أعداء الدين. اللهم من أرادنا وأراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فأشغله بنفسه واجعل كيده في نحره واجعل تدبيره تدميره يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. انصر عبادك المظلومين. انصر عبادك المستضعفين. اللهم إنا نسألك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أن تحيينا على سنة نبيك وأن تميتنا عليها وأنت راض عنا يوم أن نلقاك يا حي يا قيوم. اللهم صل على محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وقوموا للصلاة يرحمكم الله.